Welcome to another deep dive. And today we're tackling something that you specifically requested.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, you wanted to take a closer look at internal revenue districts.
All right.
And, you know, apply this think and act locally lens to it. Now get ready, because we're about to uncover some, I think, pretty surprising information.
Okay.
From a document called Internal Revenue Districts.pef. It claims the U.S. government might be playing a little bit of a trick when it comes to the IRS's authority.
Oh, interesting.
And I've got our expert here to help us break this down.
Happy it out.
So first, we'll kind of walk through the main points of this document together.
That's good.
And then we're really going to dive deep into, you know, what it could mean for you locally.
I like it.
What's so fascinating about this document is that it challenges this assumption.
What assumption is that?
This assumption that a lot of people have, that the IRS just has unlimited power across the entire country.
Right, right.
So let's jump right in. This document starts by laying out the legal basis for these internal revenue districts.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically, it cites section 7621 of the tax code.
Okay.
Now, I know that sounds a little technical, but stick with me here. This is where things get interesting.
All right.
Can you kind of explain what this section actually says?
Yeah, so Section 7621 basically gives the president the power to establish these internal revenue districts.
Okay.
But here's the catch. That power is then handed off to the Secretary of the Treasury.
Wait, the Secretary of the Treasury?
Yes.
I think most people just assume the IRS runs the whole show when it comes to taxes.
Right, but it's the Treasury Secretary who actually has the authority.
So what does the Secretary actually do with this power?
Well, that's where things get, you know, a little murky.
Okay.
You see, there's this Treasury order, number 150-01,
okay,
which seems to create 33 districts nationwide.
Okay, so if these districts already exist, what's the big deal? What's this trick that the document keeps talking about?
The trick, so to speak, lies in how these districts were created and what they were actually intended for.
Okay.
See, the document's arguing that for something to, like, officially impact the public, like, these districts, there have to be specific rules laid out,
mm-hmm,
published in the Federal Register,
right,
which is basically, you know, the government's official rule book.
Okay.
Think of it like if a rule isn't in the rule book, it doesn't really count.
Okay, so it's not enough for the secretary to just like draw some lines on a map,
yeah,
and say like these are the districts. There has to be this more this formal process.
You got it.
Okay.
And that's where the document's argument gets really interesting. It digs into the Code of Federal Regulations, or CFR.
Right.
And points to this thing called the Parallel Table of Authority and Rules.
Okay.
It sounds complicated, but it's basically just a table that connects the legal basis for something,
okay,
with the actual rules that implement it. And guess what? This table shows that the districts created by the secretary, they were specifically for customs purposes.
Oh.
Things like imports and exports, not general tax collection.
So are you saying that, like, the Los Angeles district, for example,
yeah,
might only actually apply to specific locations?
Exactly.
Like the port and the airport, not the entire city of Los Angeles.
That's precisely what this document's arguing.
Wow. So it's claiming that the real internal revenue districts, the ones that matter for, like, general tax collection, are much more limited.
Way more limited than we think, yeah.
And we think. So it sounds like this document is saying that the IRS might not actually have the authority to operate everywhere they do, at least not in the way that, you know, we typically think of it.
Yeah, it definitely challenges the conventional wisdom about the IRS's reach.
Wow. Okay, so we've established that the legal definition of these internal revenue districts is, you know, it's a bit of a puzzle.
It is. It is.
And that the IRS might not have this sweeping authority we often assume.
Right.
But what does this actually mean on, like, a practical level? What does this mean for people in their everyday lives? That's what we're going to explore in the next part.
Yeah, let's get into that. Welcome back to the deep dive.
All right, so let's get down to brass tacks here.
Mm.
What are some, like, real world examples of how this limited jurisdiction could actually play out?
Well, let's say you live in a town.
Okay.
That's miles from any port or airport,
mm-hmm,
and you receive an audit notice from the IRS.
Okay, yeah.
Now, if this document is correct,
right,
you might have grounds to question.
To question what?
Their authority to audit you.
Really?
In the first place.
Just because you don't live near one of these customs locations?
Well, based on this document's interpretation, yes.
Wow, that's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
It sounds like this could give individuals a lot more leverage when dealing with the IRS, especially if they're, you know, located outside these designated customs areas?
Potentially, yes.
Okay. But let's play devil's advocate for a second. What if someone lives right next to a major port? Would they have any less standing to challenge the IRS's authority?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
You know, the document seems to focus on the legal definition of these internal revenue districts.
Okay.
Not necessarily proximity.
Oh, okay.
So even if someone lives close to a port, you know, the argument could still be made.
Right.
That the IRS's authority is limited to the specific customs areas within that port.
Okay.
Not the, you know, entire surrounding neighborhood.
Interesting. So it's not just about geography. It's about these very specific legal boundaries.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. That define these districts.
Yeah.
All right. So let's say someone, you know, believes they're being unfairly targeted by the IRS outside of their legal jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
What steps should they take?
Well, first and foremost, I'd say document everything.
Okay.
Meticulously. The nature of the IRS's actions, mm-hmm. specific location, mm-hmm. you know, any and all communications. Then it's crucial to consult with a legal professional specializing in tax law.
Right.
To get expert advice on how best to proceed.
Makes sense. So don't just assume that the IRS is always right.
No, never assume that.
Know your rights.
Yeah.
Seek professional guidance if you need it. It's not about dodging taxes. Right?
Yeah.
This information, it's about understanding the system and ensuring fairness for everyone.
Exactly. Paying taxes is a civic duty.
Mm-hmm.
This deep dive isn't about finding loopholes.
Right.
It's about promoting awareness.
Right.
Ensuring that the system operates transparently.
So it's about empowering individuals to engage with the system.
Yeah.
From a more informed position. And this is where the, you know, the think and act locally aspect really comes into play, right?
Precisely.
Okay.
You know, let's broaden our perspective a little bit here.
Okay.
Think about how this concept of limited jurisdiction could impact local communities
yeah.
as a whole.
Okay. Yeah.
Imagine, you know, a bustling city.
Okay.
Versus a quiet rural town. How might this play out differently?
I see. So different types of communities might be impacted in different ways.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm picturing a scenario where if the IRS's authority is truly restricted
mm-hmm.
in certain areas, it could, you know, really affect their ability to actually collect taxes.
Yeah.
Right. And that could potentially lead to like budget shortfalls.
It could.
You know, for local governments.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's a concern.
Local tax revenue is essential, right?
Right. It is.
For funding all those vital services.
Yeah, absolutely.
But could this also present an opportunity?
Mm. Okay. How so?
What if this situation
right.
spurred communities
to do what?
To take more control over their own tax systems.
So instead of relying on the federal government.
Exactly.
That's an interesting thought. It could, you know, ignite these discussions about creating alternative models of tax collection,
right.
revenue generation that are more tailored
mm-hmm.
to the specific needs
right.
of each community.
Yeah, think about it.
Right.
Communities would have more autonomy
right.
to determine how they collect and utilize their tax revenue.
This could lead to, you know, more innovative solutions.
More effective solutions.
That really address those local priorities.
Exactly.
It would definitely require a major shift in mindset, though.
It would.
Right. And a willingness to experiment
Absolutely.
With new approaches.
But imagine the possibilities.
Okay.
Communities could become more self-reliant,
mm.
creating tax systems that are fair, efficient, and, you know, directly benefit their residents.
This is getting me really excited. We've gone from, you know, a seemingly technical legal document
yeah.
to like a much broader discussion
right.
about local empowerment and, you know, the potential for positive change within these communities.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It is. It is.
How even seemingly obscure information can have this ripple effect across society, especially when you start thinking about it from that local perspective.
Right. Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here.
Mm-hmm.
What are the, like, key takeaways you want listeners to leave with today? What are the action items?
First and foremost, question assumptions.
Okay, yeah.
Don't just automatically accept
right.
that the IRS has, you know, unlimited authority.
Right. Do your research, explore those different perspectives, think critically
Absolutely.
About this information.
Mm.
And second, knowledge is power.
It really is.
Right. The more you understand about how these systems work, the better equipped you are to, you know, protect your own interests and advocate for positive change.
Yeah, for sure. And third,
Don't be afraid to challenge the status quo.
Okay, yeah.
If you believe something is unjust or unfair, speak up.
Right.
Let your voice be heard.
This has been an incredibly eye-opening deep dive.
It has.
We've uncovered some really fascinating insights.
We have.
Explored the potential impact of this information on both, you know, individuals and these communities.
Mm-hmm. But we're not done yet.
Not yet, no.
In the final part, we'll address some common questions and kind of discuss what this all means for the future of taxation.
Welcome back to the final part of our deep dive into internal revenue districts.
It's been quite a journey, hasn't it?
It really has. We've covered a lot of ground, you know, from the legal stuff.
Yeah, all the more technicality.
To like the potential local implications.
Absolutely. Thinking locally about these national issues.
And I bet you our listeners are buzzing right now.
Oh, I'm sure. With all this information.
Yeah, with questions and ideas.
Lots to unpack. Definitely.
So let's dive into some of those common questions that might be on everyone's minds.
Sounds good. What do you have?
For example, like if the IRS's authority is truly limited, as this document suggests, does that mean people can just stop paying taxes?
Ah, the million-dollar question, right?
Yeah.
And it's something we hear a lot and, you know, got to address it head on.
Right. Absolutely.
This information is absolutely not about encouraging tax evasion. No, not at all.
Paying taxes, it's a fundamental civic duty.
It is.
It's crucial for funding, you know, essential government services that benefit everyone.
Exactly.
This whole deep dive is about understanding the system,
right,
ensuring it operates fairly, and empowering individuals to engage with it, you know, from a more informed perspective.
Exactly. It's about knowing your rights.
Yes.
Asking questions.
Yeah.
Holding institutions accountable.
Being an active participant.
Not just a free pass, just skip out on those obligations.
No, not at all.
But, okay, let's say someone is already in the midst of a dispute with the IRS.
Okay.
Can they use this information to their advantage?
That's where things, you know, can get a little tricky.
Right.
And it's always best, I would say, to consult with a legal professional.
Right. Get a private.
Someone specializing in tax law.
Right.
They can assess the specific situation.
Yeah.
And provide tailored advice on the best course of action.
Makes sense.
You know, every case is unique.
Of course. Yeah.
No one size fits all answers when it comes to legal matters.
Absolutely not. So always get that professional advice if you need it.
Always a good idea.
But let's zoom out a bit. Look at the bigger picture here.
Okay.
This whole conversation about these potential limitations of IRS jurisdiction.
Yeah.
It raises these really intriguing questions about the future of taxation in general.
It does.
Like, where do you see this all heading?
Well, you know, it's hard to predict the future with certainty.
Of course.
Yep. But I think this has the potential to spark this broader movement.
Would.
More decentralized
and
localized approaches to taxation.
So instead of like a top-down.
Right, exactly.
Where the federal government calls all the shots.
Yeah, top-down.
We might see a shift towards, you know, systems where communities have more control over, you know, how they collect and use their own tax revenue.
Exactly. Imagine communities having the autonomy to design tax systems that are specifically tailored to their needs and priorities.
Right.
It could lead to more innovative, more responsive solutions.
Right, because they know their community's the best.
Driven by the people who are most affected.
It sounds both revolutionary.
It does.
And a little bit daunting at the same time.
A little bit of both.
It would require a pretty big shift in mindset.
It would definitely challenge the status quo.
Yeah.
Require a willingness to experiment with new models.
It's all about being open to those new ideas.
It is.
And those new approaches.
But I think the potential benefits are worth exploring.
Yeah. What kind of benefits are you thinking about?
Imagine communities becoming more self-reliant, creating tax systems that are fair, efficient, and, you know, directly improve the lives of their residents.
Yeah, that's a really exciting vision. It really is.
It is exciting.
It makes you wonder, like, what role could individuals play in shaping this future? What can our listeners do to, like, get involved.
Right.
Make their voices heard.
Well, I would say first and foremost, stay informed.
Stay informed, okay.
Keep learning, keep asking questions, And don't be afraid to challenge conventional wisdom.
Yeah, really push those boundaries.
Engage with your local community.
Okay.
Participate in those discussions about taxation and governance.
Right, get involved locally.
Or advocate for the changes you want to see.
Absolutely.
Remember, the future is not predetermined.
No, we have the power to shape it.
It's shaped by the actions we take.
That's such a powerful message.
It is. It's about taking action.
It really is. So to wrap things up,
Okay. What
are those like key takeaways
you
want our listeners to remember?
I would say the biggest one,
Okay. Think
critically and question assumptions.
Question.
Don't take anything for granted.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to these complex systems like taxation.
Right.
Do your own research.
Okay.
Explore different perspectives. And form your own conclusions.
Absolutely.
Don't just accept what you hear.
Right. Think for yourself.
Think for yourself. Exactly.
And remember, knowledge is power.
It truly is.
The more you know about these systems, the better you'll be able to navigate them.
Yeah.
You know, advocate for positive change.
Absolutely.
Within your community.
Yeah, make a difference.
This has been such an insightful journey.
It has been.
And honestly, I feel like we've only scratched the surface.
Yeah, just the beginning.
But it's been a great starting point.
It's been a pleasure, you know, diving deep with you and all our listeners.
It really has.
Hopefully this conversation has sparked some new ideas.
Yeah.
And inspired further exploration.
It definitely has for me.
Keep those wheels turning.
Absolutely. And thank you to all our listeners for joining us on this deep dive.
Yes. Thank you.
Into Internal Revenue Districts, we encourage you to keep the conversation going.
Yes. Don't stop here.
Keep thinking critically.
Absolutely.
Keep engaging with your community.
Make those connections.
Until next time.
Yeah.
Keep diving deep.
Yeah.